This is the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB.
Now, regular listeners to the programme will have heard our segment Society of the Week, where we feature the work of a local society or charity. Well, we're always keen to hear your suggestions. And in fact, our microphone was grabbed recently by Peter Seaman at an event in Bristol, who was keen to tell us all about Blind Veterans UK. He spoke to Sophie Fox.
So you've kind of had a lot of experience of kind of getting support from blind veterans?
Absolutely. Most wonderful organisation I ever come across in my life that helps people in an absolute positive way. There's nothing negative about the Blind Veterans Association. Everything they do is well thought out long before they present it to the recipient. I've never heard anybody make a complaint about anything at the Blind Veterans Association or any of their centres, even to the meals they serve you at breakfast, lunchtime and dinner in the evenings. Everything they do, they've thought it through and tested it. Collecting you from your front door, taking you back to your front door, providing hotel facilities to look after you for when you spend a week there on one of their courses. The selection of courses is tremendous and very wide, most entertaining and fulfilling. The company you meet there, both staff and visitors like myself, has been par excellent. And the whole experience is not just a revelation, but most enjoyable. And I can't say or speak highly enough of it. And everybody who's been there and experienced what I have, and I've had four trips to blind veterans, one to the Llandudno Centre in North Wales, and three to the Brighton Centre, have all been wonderful.
So can you tell me a little bit about one of the trips you've been on? What's been your kind of favourite experience or best experience?
Well, the best experience, of course, is the introduction. When they take you, and if you have a partner, a wife or a partner, they take the partner along as well. They do this at their expense, no expense to you. They collect you from your home outside your front door. If the driver rings you the night before and says he'll pick you up at 9 o'clock, he's generally at your front door at 8:55 the next day. And they bring you back and drop you outside your front door and make sure you're safely inside the door before they leave. Everything they do, they think through. They stop on the way down for a comfort break, a cup of tea or something to eat. But all the time, they are thinking ahead of you. And of course, when you get to people my age, we tend to stop thinking, don't we? So they have to think for us, and they do it beyond belief. And they do it with the experience from when it all began in 1915. This is when this association began with, I'm trying to think of his name, Sir Arthur Pearson, who was the owner of the Daily Express, I believe. And he bought a house in London called St Dunstan's House. So now you see the beginnings. St Dunstan's, which, as you recall, many, many millions of people will remember as the Blind Association. And St Dunstan's became a Blind Veterans Association because of the changing times. And when I say changing times, in 1915, the men that were seen walking around the streets, and ladies in some cases, the streets of London and other cities, were all ex-service, come back from fighting for this country, their country, overseas, and had some injury to their eyes through gas, through shrapnel, through direct shooting. But they were all sufferers of the Great War. And this man, Pearson, thought, what can we do to help these people walking around all day needing help at every twist and turn? And I believe that one of the first things he did was got hold of the talking watch, and this is mine.
The time is 11:37 a.m.
Now then, if you stop and think, these men were walking around, stopping on street corners, asking people the time. And he found a man who could make a watch that would talk. And suddenly, when you see a blind man in the street, unless he's got an indicator on him saying, I'm blind, he looks no different from anybody else. Now then, somebody would like to walk up and say to him, a stranger in London, what's the time? And he could say, there you are. And suddenly he was being helpful to the public and not needing help from the public. And it was the first step on a long, long road, and that road is still a winding. And they still are coming up with all sorts of ideas and help for the general public. It's an organisation beyond belief.
That's brilliant. You spoke to me a little bit earlier about kind of getting some technology support from blind veterans as well. You're talking about Synaptic and things like that as well. So how did you come about that, and what support did they give you?
Right. That was due to my going on the computer course. Mm-hmm. Now, after I'd done the introductory course at Brighton, where they introduce you to a whole host of things and benefits, because they also point you in the direction of things that you're entitled to claim for through the DWP, and also getting yourself registered as a severely sight-impaired person or a sight-impaired person, which then gives you further benefits and government assistance, both physically and financially. And I chose to go on a computer course amongst all the other courses there, cookery courses, basket weaving, carpentry, archery, rifle range, you know, shooting and all that. All these courses, and I chose IT. And I then was sent to Brighton to begin. But the introductory course there shows you and your partner things that can be done in the home to improve your mobility and the way you live. It raises the standard of living for you. You don't become a cabbage in an armchair. You mustn't sit down and say, I give up because I can't see it. You must stand up and say, I may not be able to see it, but like one man once said, when he was asked, how can you see that and see this? He said, my eyes are gone, but my nose, my hands, they all speak to me and tell me things. Am I touching wood? Am I touching cloth? My smell, I know if I'm in a kitchen or I'm in a church or whatever it is. So all these things are talking to you. But sometimes somebody has to come along and give you a little shake and say, look, if you look for these things, there are the answers there, staring you in the face. So once again, your life is enriched. Now then, when you go on the IT course, or once they know on your introductory course, you need help to read, they provide you with a piece of equipment delivered to your home that you actually put newspapers in, switch on put a switch on, and it reads it and puts it on a big screen in front of you and expands it to up to 28 times its normal size. So if you've got some peripheral sight left, which we have with macular, that tells you enough to be able to read. Now, I've got no sight in one eye and about between 5 and 10% in my left eye. But I can now read a paper off that screen. Now, that's one thing. Yeah. Then you get the magnifier, which I keep in my pocket here for wherever I am, which it lights up, press a button, and you can start reading a book. Very tiresome with this, but it picks out specific things when you're in a shop looking for the price of things or the name of goods. So that's another thing, and they provide those. They provide you with your white stick. What good's a white stick? Well, I'll tell you. For a start, it tells the world that you've got a sight impediment, and if you walk into them, you haven't done it on purpose. We're not asking for help. We're just trying to tell them, look out, we might be a bit clumsy here, walking around a supermarket with a trolley. You carry your magnifier to look at the prices on the shelves and see you're at the right goods. But there again, a lot of supermarkets will provide you with a shopper. One of their staff will come around with you and give them the list, and they'll take you to all the goods you need. But this Blind Veterans Association opens up a whole new world. They take part in marathon runs, swimming events, parachute jumps, you name it. Somebody in the organisation will be organising something to match every twist and turn that sighted people can see. So if you're a blind veteran, you've got no reason to say my life ended. In my case, it possibly begun. And there's one other thing which I always make a point of. Whenever I go to meetings now, I suddenly find I've met 40 new friends. And the silly thing is, when you're at a meeting of people who have sight loss, the only odd person out in the room are the sighted ones. The non-sighted ones are the general standard in the room. So we all have something in common in that room. And the other great thing is, of course, you can't see half of them, which isn't bad, is it? So I've never seen an ugly woman since I lost my sight. And I've never seen a fat man.
Well, what a lovely place to leave that. Thank you so much for sharing that, Peter. It's wonderful to hear about what blind veterans do. And I think we're about to go off for some fish and chips now, so I'm quite looking forward to that. Thank you very much.
Well, hope you enjoyed your chips, Peter. Thanks to Sophie Fox for that interview. You can get in touch with the programme and tell us your favourite society, maybe an organisation that's done something for you, like Peter obviously has had a fantastic relationship with Blind Veterans UK. Tell us about the relationship you've got with your local society. You can do that by emailing theweeklyconnect@rnib.org.uk, or you can get in touch on Twitter, if that's what you use. You can use that #TheWeeklyConnect. Now, fancy learning about mobile phones? Well, Natasha Morse has been finding out about an RNIB event coming up at the end of the month, which might be worth attending.
Dinos Constantino is with us today to talk about a phone zone event that's happening in Leeds on the 31st of May. Dinos, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'm running a phone event, and I'm running it with O2 are going to be there as well, and there's going to be some O2 gurus there, and also the Birmingham Institute for the Deaf that hold the sight sensory contract in Leeds will also be there. And my old colleague Ian Beverley should be there as well. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be showing mobile phones. So if you've got any questions about mobile phones, please come down and we'll try and help you. We'll try and make the phones more accessible for you. There'll be a few of us down there. Also, just as a little bit something different, we're going to have Optelec have a stand, so it'll just be there'll be a stand there with the latest electronic and optical magnifiers, just because you don't really get the chance to view them in the shop. So we've just decided as a bit of a sideline, we'll have that. But there'll be quite a lot of us down there. So if you're interested in phones, what I'd say to you is, especially smartphones, come down and see what you can do with smartphones in the year 2017.
Okay, so is the event basically for people who are new to smartphones, or can people bring their own phones along as well and find out how to make them more accessible as well?
People who are new to the technology can come down and find out about it, and people who've already got a smartphone, please come down and we'll see if we can make your phone any more accessible for you.
That's absolutely excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for downloading the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.